Good morning. 8:31 a.m. on the 13th of February, 2013. 9:13. What am I thinking? 8:39. Anyway, 15-minute first mile. Woohoo! I'm kind of breathless. I was honking. I'm not stopping to take a picture in a whole bit, so yeah. Moving right along this morning, moving right along. Yesterday, I got full share published. I got it in the queue, it's not. And when I looked an hour ago, it hadn't cleared yet. It's still in review at Amazon. They say up to 12 hours for English. And obviously, it's over 12 hours. It's closer to 24 at this point. Well, 18. But I got it finished. I got it up. I got it posted. Anybody wants a preview copy, a review copy, let me know. I'll send you one. Tell me where the typos that I missed are. I didn't get any reading done. That's my agenda for this morning is when I go home, and after I catch my breath and put on a fresh pot of coffee, to read one of the three stories that I have pending for Tony C. Smith's District of Wonders. And I think probably do Blue Murder this morning. It's the Crime City Central story. Sherry Eves has been waiting for that patiently for a few months now. I better get that out. Tomorrow I'll start Double Share and get the copy edits pasted in for Double Share. And we'll work on that for the rest of the week. Yeah, we'll work on that for a day, maybe two. I need to get the other stories out. I also need to work on Sigler's story, which means I need to sit down with the story Bible. And maybe I'll do the reading this week. Sit down with the story Bible this weekend. Bang out the first draft of The Gangsta next week. Maybe that's a better choice. The challenge that I'm trying to balance is dealing with old stuff versus not falling behind on any more stuff. So some of the stuff is already very old. Some of it's already in trouble, like getting the books back out so that I can get Captain Share out. And these stories that are for Tony C. Smith and company, those are big. In terms of my visibility, those are important too. They're quite the same level of immediacy. But the other side of it is these are people who've been waiting for a long time and I'm letting them down. And that makes me feel bad. And when I feel bad, I have trouble working. So I want to put them out so that I don't feel bad about it, which will help me do more work. So, yeah, it was, it felt great yesterday. It took a lot, well, it didn't take a lot longer. I did go back, I did sit down, I did start working, and realized an hour later that I hadn't posted the podcast. That's what I get for going in and sitting down and starting to work, but I did remember by 10:30, so we got it posted. And I think I got it posted before anybody reminded me. Yeah, the other thing I'll have to do is wait till my nose stops running before I try to read something out loud. Pant choke. 15-minute mile. Wow. 15:30 something, but still, sub 16-minute mile, walking. So what am I thinking about on a wider scale today? No, not much. Yesterday, last night was the mandatory parent meeting. It doesn't sit well with me to have schools summon me. It's a mandatory meeting, you have to be there. Really? Why? Well, because we're going to go over the information that you need for putting your kid on a plane and flying to California with it. So can't you just write it down and send it to me? We're going to go over it. You'll need to be there. All right, so I go over. And then, of course, I arrive 5 minutes early, just because that's how I am. Then I'm sitting there. And they start 5 minutes late, which is kind of the way it goes. And they hand out a page, warning, that outlines things like how many carry-on items you can carry, the 3-1-1 rule for getting liquids through TSA, and a rehearsal schedule for the kids between now and the last week of March, because they go in April. And I'm looking at this thinking, really? You couldn't have mailed this to me. You couldn't have sent this to me by email. But they went through it all in detail and talked about carry-ons and how to deal with musical instruments and how to pack, what to pack, where to put your prescriptions, how to deal with prescription drugs while flying. Apparently, some of these parents have never flown, which I find almost incomprehensible, but not really, because I have to remember that I am a white male in a privileged position in society, and many of these people are neither white nor male, and certainly not privileged. So from that standpoint, it was a reminder to me that my view of the world is colored in ways that I'm not always paying attention to, and that's a problem. I should be paying attention to that. But that was also irritating, because there was a lot of information that went by that I really didn't need. In fact, the only piece of information in the whole thing that I needed was the rehearsal schedule, which my daughter probably will not go to, because the choir rehearsal is probably not going to be the same time as the band rehearsals, because so many of the choir students are in the band as well. And the checking of the list to make sure that my daughter was on the right rooming lists and the correct performance list. That was it. Hour and 15 minutes. That was it. For a mandatory parents meeting. So, yeah, it's not the happiest of campers. On the upside, I did see a friend, and we chatted for half an hour while we were standing in line to go in and check to make sure that our kids were in the right spots. So it's good to catch up with them. Monkpole. And maybe it's just because I'm old and crotchety, but I really don't like being summoned to the school. We get the calls about parent-teacher night. Please attend parent-teacher night if you care about your children. Yeah, I care about my children, but I don't care about parent-teacher night. Thank you. And the problem is, and I understand the difficulty. The problem with parent-teacher night is that it's a cattle call. And so you go, my experience with them in the school district, and I admit that I have not been to one at the high school. I went to the first one at middle school and said never again. In elementary school, it was cool because you made an appointment and you had a 20-minute slot and you would go in at that 20 minutes and you'd sit down with the teacher and you'd talk about your student. So, you know, the previous parent ran along 5 minutes, that's fine, no problem. Try to get out on time anyway. Anyway, so you go, you sit down with the teacher and you talk, and you leave. And in middle school, they changed it. So in middle school, parent-teacher conferences are from like 6 p.m. to 9:30 or something like that. 3.5, 4 hours, maybe 10 o'clock. And you go to the teacher's room and you sit in or stand in the hall outside and wait for your turn to go in and talk to the teacher. Now, in a class, in a situation where a teacher has 200 students, and granted, only maybe a third of the parents show up, that's still a lot of people who are waiting to talk to that teacher in a very narrow time frame, a very limited window. And the first time I went, I spent 2.5 hours in the class, in the student, in the school, waiting, except for the 4.5 minutes I actually spent talking directly to a teacher. And I said, you know, I got a lot better things to do with 2.5 hours than sit in the hallway. I'll make an appointment and come see them at their convenience. But I'm not going to sit in the hallway and wait for everybody else so that I can have my minute or two of attention to talk about my child's education. And again, it's one of the problems with education. It's one of the things that I've said over and over again about education. Education requires a schedule, and learning is just can't wait. That's the problem. That's the bare nut bone problem. I finished reading, by the way, Feed, M.T. Anderson's Feed. I wrote it in 2001. And it was really a reaction to the world of 2001, which, if you remember 2001, 12 years ago, is a very different one than it is now. That was pre-Facebook, that was pre-YouTube. That was really before the World Wide Web really took off. So, smartphones, no. Cell phones were barely out. But smartphones, no. No smartphones, no ubiquitous devices, no tablets, no YouTube. In fact, I think there was no Google. And he was just reflecting the consumer culture that he saw in 2001 and extrapolating it forward. And it's really uncanny how, to what degree, he managed to capture a world of ubiquitous connection. He had wet wire implants in brains that controlled every part of your body. So hypothalamus, limbic system, the whole bit. Which is a little bit out there. I really don't like the idea of having an advertiser be able to directly stimulate my pleasure centers whenever I see one of their ads. That's a little bit disturbing. But it's not that far away. It's really, when you think about it, what they try to do. They advise you to be engaging with your audiences so that you want them to be amused or touched in some way. If you can arouse an emotion, it's much more likely that your message will be or has been heard. You can't really arouse an emotion unless your message has been perceived in some way. So, yeah, is it cause and effect? Is the arousal cause? I don't know. Anyway, so it was interesting. As a book, it was okay. Construction was fine. Characterization was... And my problem was that I really didn't care. I didn't really care about the main character who was going through all of the big changes. I didn't really care about his girlfriend who was kind of a fringe dissident. I really didn't... I really didn't see the world that Anderson created, this dystopian future, people vacationing on Io and taking spring break on the moon. And I didn't really see how that was all stitched together. In part because the main character wasn't aware of how it was stitched together, so he was limited by his point of view. But I found the world somewhat cardboard cutout, and I found the main characters all just a bit cardboardy. It's not that they were unsympathetic, because they weren't sympathetic in any way, but they were unsympathetic in ways that I really didn't care. Oh, 17 minutes on the second mile. Okay. So I really didn't, you know, I was like, okay, yeah, they're unsympathetic. I don't care. And it's, you know, it's like, there's a difference between being unsympathetic and not caring. And I can conceive of a character where I could care, even though they're not a very sympathetic character. The main character in How to Succeed in Evil, I can't remember the guy's name, but the lawyer who decides to take up evil because he's tired of dealing with incompetent criminals. And he was kind of an unsympathetic character, but he engaged me in a way that made me want to find out what he was going to do next. The main character in M.T. Anderson's book, not so much. I really didn't care. So, there we have it. And since we do have the notice that of 2 miles, we also have the notice that I'm at the back gate, that tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.